Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Audio Frontier.
It is Wrestling Daft. It is the Marks. I am John. I weigh 184 pounds. I am from Larbert. I produce Wrestling Daft. I host this show. We all know this information already because you listen every week with me. A man who, I think a bit like me, has felt a little bit sorry for England, even though we are Scottish. This week I saw his tweet about Marcus Rashford. It's Inside the Ropes lead writer. It's Mr. Gary Cassidy.
Aye, it's one of the annoying ones because you want to hate England, don't you? It's in my blood. I mean, we're born here. We are pretty shite at everything, and England are actually pretty good at most things. But the media is just unbearable. So, I mean, the media and the vocal, I don't want to say minority or majority, but a vocal section of fans, the ones that we see in the news, the team are very likable. I mean, the team have done it particularly
apart from
like
Jordan Pickford.
Apart from Jordan Pickford. I mean, anybody that plays for Everton, obviously Everton are quite shite, so he's the only one that gets in the team, despite being quite shite himself. Apart from Jordan Pickford, the rest are all likeable. I mean, Marcus Rashford obviously does some brilliant stuff. I love Jordan Henderson. I feel a bit sorry for them, but no sorry enough that I wish they'd won. Obviously, still happy Italy won and celebrate with some beer amaretti, some pizza, some pasta. Absolutely brilliant.
Forza Italia. I felt really sorry for. I mean, it's terrible as Scotland fans. We sit here and we're urging them to kind of miss. But you know, one person you didn't want to miss their penalty. One person you thought, you know what, if you score the winning penalty, fair play, mate. It was Marcus Rashford for all the good that he's done, and for this country, and the spotlight you shine on in food poverty, and you just went, oh, what a shame for the guys. And the response that obviously there was some horrible people who said some horrible stuff and did some horrible stuff, but it seems that there's been a petition started to ban racists and all that. So, you know, fingers crossed something good will come of it. But I felt really, really sorry for Marcus Rashford. I really did.
Saka, just because Saka's 19 as well. You're going to carry that for the rest of your career. Every tournament that comes up, it's going to be replayed. So
he might get a Pizza Hut advert out of it. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know.
You adore a sponsorship that Gareth Southgate got as well.
That is true. It's just myself and Gary now, but this week is a little bit like Pulp Fiction. Kind of everything's kind of felt is going to be recorded in different orders because of scheduling conflict. So Alex will be joining us when we get to the buddies and put overs, fingers crossed at this point. So it's not football daft, it's wrestling daft. Anything you picked up on the last week, Gary, that you want to highlight before we get into the show?
Not particularly. If anybody follows me on Twitter, they've seen I've done a few wee interviews. There's also something I can't say too much about, but we've been waiting for ages for crowds to return to wrestling for obviously the best part of a year and a half now. Anybody that lives in Scotland and across the UK will probably be familiar that Inside the Ropes does live shows. So Kenny's actually just sent out a wee tweet in the past couple hours about something that we are going to be announcing soon, that we'll see the return of a wrestler and fans in the crowd to see the live shows that a wrestler will be talking to Kenny about. So can't say too much about it, obviously, as you can tell from my careful wording, but that'll be exciting. More stuff coming in terms of Scottish wrestling and crowds and wrestlers and events and all that stuff.
We didn't give him anything away at all. You basically say what Kenny does as a business. Kenny will be speaking to a wrestler in front of a crowd at some point soon. Well, it's good to hear that, you know, hopefully we're going to get back into live shows and certainly Inside the Ropes. So good luck to Kenny, and I'll wait, obviously, after the show, I'll be asking you who it is. Are you going to be involved in the show, Gary?
Probably no. I'll be at the show and I'll probably be taking all the stories that come for my website. But I'll not be doing it in terms of, it's the kind of thing where, you know, Kenny's been doing this for so long. You're not going to have, like, say, Gary Lineker's on Match of the Day like me being involved would be like Robbie Savage getting the main match of the day gig, or Jordan Pickford getting the main match of the day gig. So no, I'll be in attendance. Yeah. I'll be promoting the hell out of it and probably mentioning it on this show every time I can. But no, I'll be quietly involved.
Well, good. Yeah, well, it's good. And fair to say, I guess, if you look at Kenny's kind of run of guests and who he's had on, he's had everyone from The Undertaker to, well, he started off with DDP. I'm trying to think. Foley, Heyman, just
Edge, Jericho.
Absolutely, yeah.
The who's who of wrestling Hall of Famers, yeah, and stars and that. While I can't say anything about it, I'll just say this one definitely isn't a disappointment. I was going to mention James Ellsworth was one of the shows he's had. It's a bigger name than James Ellsworth, I'll say that much.
I can't remember. Right, okay. I want to hold back my guesses because I'll end up blowing it and putting you in a lot of trouble. So I'll talk to you after. But yeah, that's good. That's good news. That is good news that wrestling is on the way back. Hopefully, we will have our first crowds. We're now just announced at being level zero. So hopefully, at some point in the near future, we will have return of a live event scene in Scotland, which would be amazing.
Returning to WWE this week. So we'll have WWE crowds this week.
And obviously they've announced for the Hydro in September. So you kind of hope that we might have some independent shows before then, but we will see what happens with that. You know, it's been a bit of doom and gloom to start the show there, talking about Marcus Rashford and missed penalties and all the bad things that happened. Gary, I need cheered up. And do you know what I think I need a joke from Gary Cassidy.
Good thing I've came prepared. Yet again, it's not a wrestling joke. I think I blew my load on them way too early. We had about three good wrestling jokes and then there's no mail. But I do need to say that, you know, there's been all this talk recently about reducing carbon footprints and stuff like that. You know, we've got electrical cars. I don't know if you've heard that they're bringing out a car that runs purely on brown leaves.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, it's going to be called an automobile.
That's the worst yet. That is the worst yet. Moving on. The show, as is always, even though we're doing it in this Pulp Fiction style this week, we have the latest news from the world of wrestling with Gary, buddying and putting over stuff from This Week in Wrestling with our tag team of Rico and Bronze Chill, the New Age Mark Laws, who will be on to help us out with that. And we've got a big interview this week. Gary has been doing lots of interviews, lots to come on the show over the next couple of weeks. Gary, who are we going to be speaking to this week?
Aye, we've got Hunnels coming up. I've been doing quite a lot of interviews this week, but truth be told, I've knocked my pan in doing them and none of them are even on the Google Drive from its end. So we're dipping back about a week or two ago now when I spoke to Wesley Blake. It's a name that I think a lot of people might not be too familiar with. WWE people might remember, you know, Blake and Murphy, they'll remember Forgotten Sons. He was very recently part of a faction with our favourite wrestler, Baron Corbin. So I spoke to him a wee bit about that, about the Jackson Riker tweet that got him taken off TV in the first place. And then my new favourite question, anybody that watches any of my interviews now will hear me asking the same question in every single interview. And it is, when you were off TV, what pitches did you make to try and get back on TV? Because I love hearing about what, you know, what people are saying that they want to be on TV as character-wise, what is getting approved, what's getting rejected, mainly rejected. And the question that I asked, or sorry, the answer I got to that question from Wesley Blake was one of my favourite interview answers ever. So definitely a really fun interview for me, and one that I think a lot of people will be watching and go, man, I really want to go back and either watch a Wesley Blake match or see what he does in the future. So aye, great fun.
Brian, we'll hear all that Wesley Blake has to say a bit later on. But first, let us cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, Gary, okay. This is something that I've noticed over the last couple of years, and it really annoys me. Politicians. Now, I'm not just cutting a promo on politicians.
That'd be too easy. That'd be way too easy.
However, what I would like to cut a promo on is politicians' hand gestures. Now, a politician has a hand gesture which is very unnatural, okay? I don't know if you've ever noticed. So just, you're listening, if you're listening to the show.
You're going to educate me here, John.
Yeah, but if you're listening to the show, I want to describe it to you. If you've seen the video version, you'll see this. So they have a hand gesture that basically, they kind of clench a fist. So if you clench a fist like that, and then put your thumb over the kind of fist. So you've got like that, right? Every part. So it's almost like the thumb is pointing on. It's the thumb is going over the kind of fist and pointing and the fist. And politicians speak like this when they're trying to make a point. Have you ever noticed this?
I haven't, but now that you've said it, it sounds like something that I definitely have noticed.
Every politician now does this hand gesture, and it's so unnatural, and it's not how people speak naturally, but somewhere in politician school, they're told to do this specific hand gesture. Now, you keep an eye on an interview with a politician in the near future, when Boris Johnson's going up and blithering a lot of shite, watch his hand gesture, and this little thumb point thing happens with them all, and I don't understand why it's so fucking unnatural. If you're having a conversation, me and you are sitting chatting, I don't bust out my little thumb and start gesturing like that. It's really, really annoying. And I think
they've been watching AEW and they've seen Orange Cassidy and went, you know what, we'll do that, but we'll take a wee bit more aggressive, not quite a closed fist, no the Orange Cassidy squeeze, but we'll go for the somewhere in between. I'm glad you said that. I thought you were going to say the hand gestures like the Dele Alli thing when he's doing like that. I thought that was a...
I tell you what though, there's a plenty of hand gestures I would like to make at politicians when they do that hand gesture. I tell you, Gary, I tell you. Every week we look back at the big shows. Myself, I do NXT. Gary does Raw. We invite our fantastic listeners on to do SmackDown for us. And they've been with us for so long now. The New Age Mark Laws, Mr. Bronchello, Mr. Rico, and they do SmackDown for us. And joining us live, we said we're sort of recording the show like Pulp Fiction this week, so it's all out of sequence and different bits, so we didn't know where Alex would be. But we've got Alex here, and he's live from his car.
Sound quality, hello guys.
I love the devotion to the podcast that you have joined us from your car in transit across Glasgow city centre. So I feel like it's almost like... I feel like a news reporter switching to going live out to the places. What can you see in front of us, Alex? What can you see?
I can see in front of you plenty of terrible drivers who don't quite understand when to go and when to take the appropriate space. It's really just slowing down this congestion queue of traffic.
Excellent. Well, we'll go live to Alex just in a minute to get the AEW notes from him. But first, gentlemen, i.e., Bronchello and Rico, it's a bit like Street Fighter 2. New challenger has arrived. Believe it or not, I got a message on Twitter the other day. It said, hello, if you need anyone to do the SmackDown review on the Mark Show, I would do it, says Ryan. And I said, wow, a challenger will be in touch. He says, sounds good. We need to send a warning to these New Age Mark Law characters. So, next week on the show, we've got a handicap match as the tag team of the New Age Mark Laws take on Ryan. What do you think about that, boys?
I'm actually away next week.
Oh, it's a...
This is one of those situations where it's like you go in to see your boss and your boss goes, and you go, no, I quit. I quit. You can't fire me because I quit.
So
is it just Rico's taking him one-on-one then, is it?
One-on-one? Oh, this is interesting. I'm looking forward to this. So Ryan is challenging for the title next week on the show. How's that for a tease for you? So yeah, we'll find out what happens. Hopefully we get a hold of Ryan and we'll get him on to a one-on-one match for Rico over SmackDown next week. Should be exciting. But let's
bring it, Ryan. You better bring it.
The words are getting thrown down already. Love it, love it. Let's get into this week's shows then, boys, and let's kick off with NXT. Going back to the Great American Bash, did anybody watch it? Everybody watch it?
Oh, yeah.
No, shaking of the head from Gary. Gary's not a lot of people just kind of thrown NXT in the bin now, but I thought it was a very good show. We only had four matches on it. You know, it was paced out really well. Some bits we'll get to weren't so great, but let's start off with a positive, shall we? You know where I'm going to go, boys. Do you think you know where I'm going to go? Of course, we're going straight to the well, and we're talking LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes. Do you know what? And I've went on about it. I know I keep going on about it. It's like you guys with Baron Corbin. I keep going on about this. I keep going on about this feud because you know what it is? It's proper, good old, proper, old school pro wrestling. It is just gimmicks. It's, you know, putting this stipulation with that Grimes has to come as Butler if he loses. There was a magnificent, magnificent moment of pro wrestling. Old school kind of wrestling where LA Knight had done a maneuver out in the outside. He went back into the ring, celebrated the countdown on top of the ropes, and he had this. There was just a brilliant camera shot of him just looking back, and Grimes gets back into the ring, and the look of his shot, his face. LA Knight is killing it. He is absolutely killing it. He's a great pro, as is Grimes as well. They've matched up these two so well, and the two of them, for me, are complete packages. Brilliant in the ring, brilliant promos, and brilliant. I mean, both work so well as a heel. And it's actually interesting seeing that Cameron Grimes getting over and getting that sympathy as a face now. So I can't rave about them enough. I think they're both great. And I really, really can't wait for the vignettes because LA Knight went over Grimes. So, yep. I just love it because old school pro wrestling is what I really enjoy. It's good story. And it's good gimmicks. And just love it. Love it, love it, love it.
So, managed to not ruin LA Knight very quickly. I was slightly concerned that wasn't going to go so well. But he's got a good place in the card and it seems to be just fine and good.
Yeah. So, looking good. Whatever Alex just said, because he's live, he's a bit bored today. But we'll agree with Alex and what he just said. Well done, Alex. Right, so, buddy, let's go to the first, buddy. Wrestlers' names. Right, these days, they announced the breakout tournament during the NXT. They had all the contenders for the breakout tournament. Now, I'm just going to grab up the names that are involved in the breakout tournament. So, it's not exactly, you know, wrestlers' names used to have Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, Bret the Hitman Hart, Macho Man, Randy Savage. Maybe I'm just old school, but now we have people like, you know, where are they? Here we go. Carmelo Hayes, Andre Chase, Trey Baxter, Duke Hudson, Josh Briggs. They all sound like the
Duke Hudson's a belt. I name though. I'm a big Duke Hudson sounds great.
Joe Gacy. I mean, it's all
Joe Gacy's great.
It's all just a bit, you know, it's not. It's not
Joe Gacy's named after a murderer. Like, surely that's a plus.
I know, but it's just normal names. You know what I mean? You want something that you want gimmicky. You want. I'd love it if they went to the breakout tournament and there was someone. Now, well, this is just off the top of my head, but if someone's dressed up as some sort of fireman gimmick or just something different, you know, it's all just like create a wrestler.
John has officially joined the AKs. Everyone just put him inside that loony bin and let's stop him from painting any more modern wrestling with this lunacy.
Right. Well, I just want something different. It's like all we get now is like create a wrestler in 2K. That's all we seem to get with this NXT.
This doesn't mean that we want fireman gimmick though. Nobody wants fireman gimmick.
I'm just sorry, Alex. I just pulled out the fireman gimmick out of the box of gimmicks. You know,
also losing sight, John, of the fact that in about 6 months, all of these people will only have one name rather than two.
It's very true. So yeah, it's very Giro, Gacy, Briggs, Hudson. But no, it's just a bit boring. And like I say, it's a bit kind of creating a wrestler, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think obviously it'll be great. And I think obviously I'm sure they're all very well and very talented in the ring because they wouldn't be on telly otherwise. And you know, I think I'm just a bit fed up with the kind of modern. It's all great in the ring, but there's nothing like going back. That's why I'm excited about the Grimes LA Knight stuff because it's just a bit different. So, anyway, that's just probably me being an old school wrestling fan there, and because I'm the oldest in this podcast, and you are all indie boys who like that stuff. So, anyway, let's also, buddy, God Almighty. I like, now, talking about gimmicks and stuff, Hit Row, I really like as a concept. I really like what they're kind of doing there. I like, you know, we had this, the kind of studio vignettes. I like the fact that Swerve's got the belt on him because it gives them, you know, it just gives them that credibility. However, fuck me. And it went on a wee bit, man. Jesus, there was about 10 minutes of them rapping. And in all honesty, not all of them are exactly Snoop Dogg. To be fair, see, Swerve, really good, but some of the other one, it was just all up. Am I old? It was all just a bit of a noise. They were all just kind of talking.
No, John's complaining about the hip-hop. He's complaining about the gimmick.
No, I'm not Jim Cornette. I'm not Jim Cornette. But it's like, it was just all a bit shouty. They were shouting over each other, and it was just a bit noisy. And just a
John is pulling the same card that if anybody's read the story this week about when Aleister Black showed Vince McMahon the song that he wanted to... And Vince McMahon's like, that just sounds like noise, but what do I know? I'm a 76-year-old guy, or whatever it was his response.
I tell you what, talking of noise, was Zoe Stark's theme. I think that's new, and we only got to hear about 10 seconds of it, and then once she won the match, it's a belter, that, by the way. But yeah, I think just, you know, keep it simple, keep it short, you know, and it'll get over, you know. But it went on for ages, and you're just like, Jesus, they're all having a shot at rapping and just, changing the beats.
Somebody's watched Platinum Max Caster and went, that stuff's good, let's do more of that.
Yeah.
So you wanted more gimmick, and you got more gimmick, and now you're complaining that you got more gimmick.
No, I'm not, honestly. just keep it short, keep it simple. Good. That's how we want to keep it. Before we go to the final put over, let's quickly have a little flash to the Fashion Corner, because we've not done that yet. Dakota Kai, either wear the jacket or don't wear the jacket. Our new gimmick thing seems to be, our jacket seems to be half off. Come on or off? It just looks silly, doesn't it? A jacket half on, half off.
It's too warm for a jacket, but too cold to not wear a jacket. It's one of the ones.
It's
footballers wear short sleeves and gloves.
or when you know you're sleeping at night and it's too warm outside, and you have a half a leg out the sheets and half a leg in the sheets. So it's kind of like that. Headbands again, just a no-no on me. I mean, I get it if you're a heel, but Candice LeRae was sporting a headband. Just no, get headbands in the bit. Has any other wrestler ever looked good in a headband?
Fucking Billy.
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley does not look good in a headband. He looks so much better.
He looks terrific. He looks beyond good.
I like how we started the show with John mentioning having sympathy for, you know, England and the team, and now he's just called Jack Grealish a heel.
No, exactly. There you go. Jack Grealish has been a headband as well. Yeah, so get the headbands in the bin. But O'Reilly's ring gear, really impressed by that. Check that out if you can. It's kind of blue camouflage. He's pretty smart. So, yeah, check that out. Let's go over to our final put over. I'm going to give it to Tegan Knox's return. I think I have to. She's had such a hard time. We've had vignettes running throughout the last couple of weeks on NXT with kind of charge going up. And she made her return in the ring, turning up during the Tag Team Championship match. And interrupted the match, and that was Zoe Stark and Io Shirai got the win on that one. So yeah, really, really good. I really enjoyed the event, really enjoyed watching it. I like how they do these kind of pay-per-views on television now, and pay-per-view feels to it. So yeah, I think they always put together really, like, NXT's so well put together. I think I've talked about that, about how they kind of evolve the show, how they tease into next week, how there's so much that Raw could learn from it, I think. But yeah, I still would like to cut it down by about half an hour and take it to an hour and a half show, but that won't happen. But yeah, didn't talk about the main event, Cole Riley. Not as good as the first match, and obviously I think that sets up the rubber match as well now, so it's 1-1 in that. But yeah, match of the night for me, I'm going to give it... I can't give it to Grimes versus LA Knight as much as I like. I just feel that would just be me being biased. But so I'm going to give it to the tag team match that opened the show. NXT does tag team matches really, really well, as opposed to the main roster. MSK, interested to see what they're going to do with them. Are they going heel? It looks that way. They finish with a small package. I should have worried that as well. I fucking hate a small package finish. So it looks like they could be going heel. And Thatcher Ciampa, just big brutes, and they're really jealous of the tag team. So, yep, looking forward to see what happens there with the tag team division. And that is my match of the night. Alex, we'll try.
I'm actually just arrived home. Do you want to give it to the boys for SmackDown, and I'll be back in 5 minutes?
Yeah, that would be great because, yeah, it does. I'm glad you've got home safely. Fantastic. You, hi up, we'll get you back in to do AEW in a bit. Let's go to the boys, our New Age Mark Law tag team of Bronchill and Rico. And let's come to Bronchill first and let's get your first put over of the night, sir.
So I'll probably put over Cesaro versus Rollins. It was another great match between them. Cesaro got busted open on the top turnbuckle. Rollins hit a very nasty-looking DDT on the ramp. The finish came where Cesaro almost got counted out, and then Rollins hit him with a curb stomp. But I'm going to go back to Fashion Corner, and it's the same for 2 weeks in a row. Seth Rollins, get your silver leather jacket in the bin. It's shite.
My favourite thing about that whole match was the commentary.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens on commentary was, I mean, the match was incredible anyway, but Kevin Owens on commentary just added so much to it. Mm-hmm.
Can I see while I'm in Fashion Corner just now? Can we just talk a little bit about Brock Lesnar's ponytail? What are, are we happy with the Brock Lesnar ponytail? This was trending on Twitter. I was like, oh wow, Brock Lesnar's trending. Wonder what he's trending for. Is he coming back? Clicked into it. It's all about his ponytail.
Just in case. Yes, it looks like Alex Hammerstone from MLW, if anyone's familiar with him, yeah. Or a bit like Mordecai even as well.
It's more like a top knot, I would say. More like a top knot.
Just in case, on the off chance Brock Lesnar is listening to this podcast, I'm going to say I love it.
Right, okay, I love it. We're all on board with your ponytail, Brock, honestly, we really are. We all Google Brock Lesnar's ponytail or whatever at home. There we go, there you can see the ponytail. Bronson was holding it up on the screen. He was cooking, he was doing something with meat, he was doing something very manly with meat, Brock Lesnar, while he sported
the bearded butchers. Whereas it was with two guys called the Bearded Butchers who wear hair nets around their beards and smash up meat. And he was also smashing
manly,
up meat
manly stuff, but he did have a ponytail. So let's go over to your, let's go for your first buddy then, Rico.
It's a really short one. And I feel like it's, I don't come from Glasgow. I come from Edinburgh, but I do have a really big bug there with people who say Glasgow instead of Glasgow.
Yes.
And it happens all the time, and I'm disappointed to hear Edge saying it. And I didn't know that a Glasgow grin was when they put a pipe into someone's mouth and stretch it back. I don't know what that was about, to be honest.
Why was Edge talking about Glasgow on SmackDown?
Fuck knows. I've not got a clue. He showed a picture of Roman Reigns getting the chair pipe in his mouth, then of Jimmy Uso, and he just said, the Glasgow grin. And I don't know, I think he maybe forgot his lines or something and just tried to
big friend of Inside the Ropes, Edge. I will mention that. He's been
that's
here
probably and, why. Maybe it was an homage to you guys.
Yeah, it might have been.
There you go. Well, that does really annoy you. I remember being at a house show when Seth Rollins was just in the ring and just going Glasgow. It was when Triple H joined the Shield that time when Roman Reigns was injured.
Some heel move. If I was for America and I knew how much that pissed off people for Glasgow, I would be saying it every 2 seconds.
Oh, he was face at the time.
Oh,
he was face at the time. For goodness sake! I know. So that really does your head. Learn from, if you're listening. Come September, remember it's Glasgow. Okay, right. Let's go to your first buddy, Bronchill.
So because of this required training at the Performance Center, Bayley's now injured. She was the absolute MVP of the Thunderdome era, if you want to call it that. She's going to be missed, and I just feel that they should put her on commentary while she's out. But on the positive side, I'm going to put over the fact that we've now got Shotzi, Tegan Knox and Toni Storm coming to SmackDown. So, a big loss, but three new gains. So, yeah, that'll be great.
I'm so very surprised, Gary, you might have more of an insight in this, that I think the Raw women's division is struggling a bit at the moment, and I was very surprised to see Shotzi, Tegan and Toni Storm being mentioned for SmackDown.
I'm not sure, because I think we've mentioned it with the kind of Raw side, well, there's a lot of bodies there and the storylines are kind of getting cut down ever so slightly, because I think they've got too much and no much going for it, like in terms of, you know, we've got the Eva Marie Doudrop stuff, we've got the Nikki Cross stuff, Alexa Bliss, and then that's not even counting your, you know, your Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Naomi, all the kind of names. I think it always made sense that they'd add a wee bit more to SmackDown, because SmackDown is where most of the released superstars have came from, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, not that a lot of them are getting used anyway, but I think that did always need that wee boost. And then if you've got, even though they can go elsewhere, if you've got Natalya and Tamina on that show, I guess it makes sense. I think it's a better fit because, I mean, I'm not gonna say that Raw's terrible, because I will get into that, and I actually think it's looking good now. But I think if you were one of those superstars, you would rather be going to SmackDown. So
yeah, of course.
I think that's probably good for them that they're going there.
I mean, Sasha's just kind of disappeared at the moment since WrestleMania, really, hasn't she?
She was back at the PC and the required training that Bailey got injured in. I don't think she was part of the incident, obviously, but she was at the PC again, and that's obviously first time she's been spotted since WrestleMania, I think. And she was at the ESPY Awards, where her and Bianca Belair got the award for the best WWE moment of the year. So
yeah.
I think she's advertised for Madison Square Garden in, is it 6 weeks?
Right.
So a lot of people were thinking she would be the replacement for this weekend, but obviously not. And I think, I mean, if it seems that obvious, you maybe don't want it to be that. You'd rather it maybe come back as a wee surprise beforehand at some point, maybe the running or something. So
yeah, interesting to see what happens there. Rico, what have you got for your put over?
Another fairly short one. Because we're at Money in the Bank season, I'm going to revisit Money in the Bank from last year. And our winner from last year, Otis, obviously, and his whole journey with that Money in the Bank briefcase wasn't very good. But looking at him now, I'm disappointed that he wasn't his current incarnation last year, because I feel like they might have been able to do something a bit better. And I'm getting more and more interested in where they're going with Otis and Gable and the Alpha Academy now. Because Otis is starting to look like a proper machine. Unfortunately, he's got rid of his hair, which I thought it looked cool with it anyway, but now he just looks like an absolute monster now. It looks like he could really start to take some scalps. And when Gable and Otis had a promo, I forgot who the tag team champions were for a second, and I had to remind myself, and I thought, well, just give it to those two. Put it on Alpha Academy and start having them up, go up against everybody, build them up and build the tag team division around those two. And I think you could probably start to get back on track.
Isn't it amazing a year on, you're thinking Otis is a heel, you know, not with Tucker either, and you're really thinking he looks better than he did this time last year.
Aye, and it didn't even really take much. Basically a haircut.
A shave and a haircut, and he's healed up. Brilliant.
That's it.
Watch match tonight, gents?
Probably go with Shotzi and Tegan versus Natalya and Tamina. It was quite short. Shotzi won with the ball pit, but my one problem with Shotzi is WWE need to really watch out with having the taking care of business and TCB plastered everywhere, because if Elvis catches that in their family, it'll be a lawsuit, so.
I hope you're listening, WWE lawyers. Rico, do you agree? What have you got?
I thought Cesaro and Seth Rollins was a great match, but going back into the tag team match there was a bit at the start where Shotzi was riding a tank down and shot the missile, and it was like a ball hair away from Tamina's face. They did like an action replay, and it was like, I don't know, centimetres away from hitting her square in the bus. Funny, but probably Cesaro
will be set. Yeah, you can't look beyond that. Brilliant, boys. Let's welcome back to the show. We've had him on the MA, and now he should be live from his bedroom. It's Alex, who's here to do AEW, and he's here live from his room.
I might have not been in my room for once. You didn't know that. I could have been anywhere. Fuck's sake. Giving my game away. Well, apologise for the earlier sound quality. I hope this is slightly more acceptable.
It is. Sounded a lot better. So how was your drive? What was the best bit about your drive across town?
It was until the motorway decided to get very, very busy. Or it was actually once I got off the motorway and got into the part of the town where I live and I could actually drive again, which was lovely.
Lovely, fantastic. What have you got for us, Alex?
Well, my heart's been broken this week. So after the big finale of last week's Dynamite, playing us that lovely video package and all this talk of being on the road, they're going back to Daly's place in 3 weeks. What the fuck? Bastards. Like, and then, so that broke my heart. And then we got to the main event, right? Nick Jackson shaved off his mustache.
Oh.
1 week. 1 week. That's all I got of Nick Jackson's marvelous mustache. I was very upset. Very upset. But the Bucks did wear appropriate wrestling street clothes and got the jorts on. So that kind of made up for it, I guess.
Right. Yeah. The mustache, jorts are definitely heel, I would say.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Almost definitely. So let's talk about fashion. We're talking about it. So let's talk about Mr. Andrade Del Idolo. So Andrade had his in-ring debut this week. It was actually a really good match with him and Matt Sydal. I do think those two should have a hair versus hair rivalry, only because they have the same hairstyle. So if that happens, I'd like some kind of reverberation or whatever it is you get for ideas. But his entrance attire. Now, I think that's maybe the black mask from Batman, but of all of the cool kind of entrances we've seen, that one just didn't really hit the spot for me, unfortunately. I feel kind of bad saying it. It just felt a bit... It was a little bit flat. So he can't even get this week's Fashion Corner Award, which is a bit of a shame. Because we all know where that goes, because we had a bit of a surprise debut this week. So I think this has to be a slight berry and a putover. And I think for this berry, I have to hand this to John, as I think John has brought up this berry earlier on this week.
Yeah, I watched the debut of Aleister Black on AEW, right? And I was just, I had to message immediately the guys in the group chat and go, what the hell are we calling him? So immediately we had this debut of, you know, oh, that's Tommy End. That's Tommy End. I wrestled him in Germany. And then they suddenly turned and called him Malakai Black. And then it's, oh, but it's Tommy End. No, it's Malakai. What the hell? Just
I think Excalibur maybe forgot that they'd renamed him. Maybe.
Potentially. You think that's what's happened? Do you think it's been an honest mistake?
I think so. Because if you think about everyone else has come back to their traditional indie name. You've got John Moxley, you've got Brody Lee. They just revert back. You've got Matt Cardona as well. So, or is that just his real name? I don't know. It's irrelevant. So, but he's the first one who's come into AEW with a new name. So they've maybe just got really used to calling wrestlers by their older name, which is a bit of a shame. But
I think the annoyance there is that for him to know the name in terms of, I mean, obviously we know why he knows the name in terms of everything being a shoot, but if we are to believe that he knows that name because he's seen the video on Aleister Black or Malakai Black or Tommy End's Instagram and Twitter and stuff, he should maybe just reference that afterwards and said, oh, I seen that he's, you know, I seen that he's got a new name because I seen this vignette that can, obviously it's kind of fucking breaking the fourth wall, but otherwise it just seemed a little bit dumb. That
I think
like,
you'd have needed,
oh, here's his name.
You'd have needed JR or Tony to come up with that. And no offense to Jim, I don't think JR is coming up with that off the back of his bat, let's be honest.
I'll have to ask Grado's permission, but Grado had his views on the Malakai Black vignette, saying anyone can do that shite. I was believed. His words were, he just said, I hate this shite and anyone can do it. And I challenged him to make a Malakai Black style promo. And he has sent it to me. So I'm going to ask Grado if we could put it up on the Patreon, patreon.com/resident. I'll send it to you, boys, so you can see it. But yeah, he created his very own Malakai Black vignette, which we'll hopefully get up onto the Patreon so you can check it out. Sorry, Alex, continue.
No, it's all right. This has been a bit all over the place. Anyway, so it's fine. So for those that missed it, once Aleister Black, once Tommy End, now Malakai Black debuted in AEW. What I didn't realize was he actually put the promo package out beforehand, which was a surprise to me. And he essentially has turned up in his continuation of the Dark Father character from WWE, which is just a terrific idea. So I'm so for it. And it's the fact he's got the eye as well. It's continuation in wrestling between different companies.
And the absolute best part of all of that is because he's non-compete due to a clerical error was only 30 days. WWE have essentially just promoted his new character accidentally. So they've put all this money into all these vignettes and production for him to just take it elsewhere and be money elsewhere.
He's still the same guy as well. He's still not wearing socks with those dress shoes. And that's a very Aleister Black thing to do. I think dropping him with Cody's actually a good starting point, because I'm not sure if Cody's meant to be a heel or a face just now. And so it'll be a nice kind of guess in that first match about which one is going to be the heel and which one's going to be the face in that rivalry going forward. Which
I do love that concept. It's like stealing someone's homework, isn't it? That's basically what AEW have done. They've basically jumped WWE in the playground, snabbed their homework and handed it in as their own. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, another. So I was going to give my put over to Miss Baker, which she's going to get a semi put over for her Saudi joke, if anyone didn't hear it.
Yes. Yeah, well, so Shabani's face was a picture when she said
it was terrific. Just the mention of Saudi blood money was hilarious. 10 points, Brit. And this whole Reba acting in the background of Brit, I don't think I could watch a Brit promo without it now, as I think it's terrific. So such is life. But on to the actual put over, which was how good was MJF and Jericho in the ring together with the microphone? Although the fact that Jericho was wearing high tops and the fact he's 50 wasn't great, but he was dropping mom jokes. And the highlight had to be the MJF line that was, you started talking about Greek mythology and something to do with it's ironic because you're nicknamed the demo god and you're not even in the demographic anymore. So 10 points MJF. And again, he kind of came back, and it was the continuity as well, because he was bringing up the challenges that Moxley made, that Jericho made Moxley go through. So all tying together in the beautiful, beautiful way it stood. But the final put over of the evening, because I'm getting an extra one because I forgot to mention him, is fucking, this is his name, Dan Lambert, the UFC guy.
Oh, cutting the best promo in AEW history.
It was so... He was so on point. Like, it came out of nowhere. They were just interviewing the UFC guys. Is it Dan Lambert or Dan Lambrin or something like that?
Lambert, I think.
Like, I don't even know what he is. I'm assuming he's a promoter / trainer of some variety. So
I think I think he was like a coach, but I'm sure he's a former fighter as well.
I would assume he must do. Yeah, but he essentially just came in and called wrestling shit and said, you're all watching a piece of shit. Stop watching this crap. Get it off my television. And then came out and got a blackout from Lance Archer. It was just terrific. It was just on the money. I loved it. It was great.
He's a former professional ice hockey player.
Wow, really?
Can we get Chris Jericho's dad versus Dan Lambert next week? Actually, don't do that. That would be terrible. Let's not do that, please.
I seen, I think it was Alfred Kanua from Forbes had put up a wee theory that it would be great if they continued this and had Dan Lambert, who's talking about everything that AEW should be and isn't and all that, bringing in Braun Strowman, which would be great. That would be a brilliant way to go with it. But
I was just trying to think, is there a wrestler called Butler and we could have Lambert versus, but no.
I don't know if that's going to fly in the States, mate. It's not going to be as funny as it is over here. Like.
That's it. Have you watched your match tonight then, Alex?
I'm not going to give it to the Bucks because I always give it to the Bucks. Yeah. And let's give it to Aleid Low versus Sydal. I quite enjoyed it. It was nice to see. I just quite enjoyed seeing Andrade back in the ring, to be honest, and that's kind of my main problem.
I'd heard a few mixed reports that I think the internet was kind of split on that match.
I mean, it wasn't the best match. I think I was, as I said, I was just happy to see Andrade again, personally.
Fair enough.
And I just don't want to give it to the Bucks. They win it all the fucking time, even though it totally was the match tonight. I just don't want to keep giving it to them. That's fine.
Thank you, Alex. Finally, let's go to Gary. And as much as he saw Raw last night, what you got for us, Gary?
I'm starting with match of the night. I need to turn it around and start with match of the night because there's nothing that has excited me in wrestling probably this year more than this being a match that happened on Raw. Prince Puma versus Johnny Mundo. Well, different names, obviously. But we had a Lucha Underground rematch on Raw, John Morrison v Ricochet. And I'll be honest, I skipped through most of Raw because I didn't watch it live last night because it's been a bit rubbish up until about 3 weeks ago. And I'm still on that thing where crowds are back next week. So, I mean, what was the point in watching it live last night? So I skipped through most of it. But that match was superb. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I think I put over a John Morrison match last week and a Ricochet match 2 weeks ago or something around that. So I'm just going to enjoy watching them while they're putting them on TV in good matches. And it was just a brilliant match to watch.
Was that another count out one, wasn't it? After the spot he did, was it a couple of weeks ago where he jumped and basically clotheslined him off the barricade. It was incredible. So what was the spot this week?
It was involving, I believe, a ladder, two settings, Mick Foley put it up because he also praised the match. But it was from, sorry, not a ladder, what am I talking about? It was from the top of the turnbuckle to the outside onto a ladder. So, oh, absolutely brilliant. But it was just, I mean, I think I've mentioned that Fashion Corner, Ricochet's gear is shite now, but it's amazing that you're getting to see him on TV most weeks and in matches with people he can put on good matches with. That was absolutely brilliant. Although saying that, Mick Foley was putting out everything, because I've just went back and he's putting all the Rhea Ripley and Natalya matches well, which was also good, but I skipped through that one.
Gary skipped it, obviously. So
I feel like I'm nothing if I'm not an optimist, even though I've just buried a match that I've not seen. But for me, we're going back to crowds next Raw. So I don't want to be harsh in terms of anything. So I'm only going to do a wee half bury for this week and then mention a few things I enjoyed. My half bury is just Bobby Lashley getting pinned. And I get it. And it kind of came full circle at the end of the show. And I think Bobby Lashley cutting probably the best promo Bobby Lashley has ever cut in his life. But I still don't like seeing him getting pinned like 3 days before he's going to be defending it, or 5 days before he's going to be defending his championship. Just, you know, that old school thing where do you really need to have him getting pinned to get that point across? Surely there's something else you can do. You can have him win the match and then, you know, Kofi gets the better of him. Maybe hard to do with faces and heels and stuff. But I just didn't really like that. But, I mean, if that's the thing that I disliked the most about the show, probably wasn't too bad a show, even though I skipped through most of it. Things that I liked, and again, I'm just circling back to things that I've liked in the past that came together this week. Nikki Cross and Riddle in a wee backstage segment was absolutely brilliant. I mean, Riddle's just doing good stuff to do anyway. I think, in terms of people I'm enjoying on WWE television, Riddle is definitely up there, and Nikki Cross now, Nikki Ash is definitely up there. I even didn't hate we get Alexa's Playground segment with Eva Marie and Doudrop, who I will mention as Doudrop because she's changed her Twitter handle to that now. With Alexa Bliss. I do think it will change back eventually, but I don't really care because, I mean, what's in a name? Even though John hates all the NXT names, what's in a name? It'll be forgotten a bit soon. But even that was okay. There wasn't really anything bad, and I expected it to be quite a bad show because I'm probably going to phone it in because we're getting to the end of the Thunderdome era and we're going to have live crowds next week. It actually seems more like they used it as a transition because we got that Alexa Bliss thing, but it seems like they're at least minimizing the things that were a bit shite about it in the past.
Do you think that's because they've realized that they can't do it so easily now with crowds?
Yeah, I think both that they can't do it so easily and they realize that what they were doing would probably not get a good reaction. I think they're just actually getting it and realizing what might go down badly with crowds and what might not go down. I mean, saying that, I might have missed it, but Jackson Ryker, I don't think, was on the show. Him being face might not go down well with crowds. But I just think they're doing the stuff right in terms of that. I love the Nikki Cross stuff. I love the Riddle stuff. Even all the build to the Women's Money in the Bank match I thought was okay, even though it was yet again one of the throwing the gill, let's just fucking fire everything into one wee segment and hope it plays out all right. That was all good. But all right show. Which again we'll say in terms of how it was 3 weeks ago, I'll take an all right show any day of the week because it leaves me thinking that next week might be an all right show in front of a crowd that wants to see any wrestling and it might be a good show. But I think that the main takeaway that I'm going to say is that it's brilliant to see Kofi Kingston back in the title picture, even though he's probably not going to win the title. If he does, brilliant. But I mean, I think it's brilliant to see him back in the title picture and the way that they actually booked it. Because while I hated the Xavier Woods, I didn't hate Xavier Woods pinning Lashley because I like seeing Xavier Woods then well. But while I didn't like seeing Lashley take the pinfall, they've actually built that match up to have some kind of intrigue rather than just here's a filler match between noon and SummerSlam, which is what these matches normally are at Money in the Bank. And I do think that that's going to be intriguing. And we're getting MVP and Lashley in some wee kind of, I hope they're not going to split them, but we're getting them in something that's intriguing as well. So it was just an intriguing orange show.
Decent go home before Money in the Bank, then.
Although it's kind of weird now because SmackDown's technically the go home. So, I mean, Raw, yeah. It's always like, but it was decent enough. There wasn't anything that was really, really bad. And I think that's a victory nowadays in Raw.
Wait. Is Money in the Bank crowds or is Money in the Bank Thunderdome?
Money in the Bank's crowd. Raw last night was there's my berry. They didn't do the idea that was brought up on the show last week and wrecked the Thunderdome.
Oh, well, you still got SmackDown for that.
Yeah, and we also got the Jinder Taker again. We got Jinder Mahal on his bike, which is what we all want to see.
Jinder Taker's amazing. What's your match tonight, Gary?
It was definitely that Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma. Ricochet versus John Morrison, 100%. Yeah. Just they could be it, and I would like it.
I'll be interested in what spots they do at Money in the Bank. That'll be definitely worth watching. Brilliant. So that's it for this week in wrestling. Boys, thank you very much. The challenger will arrive next week, hopefully in the form of Ryan. We'll see how that goes in the one-on-one SmackDown battle. Against Rico. He's playing for your pride as well, Paul, so fingers crossed.
Do my best runs.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine. But listen, thanks very much for that, guys. And if you want to get your buddies and put overs, you can do that to Grado and Rab on the main show. You can do that at Wrestling Daft on Twitter, Wrestling Daft Podcast on Insta, or just plain old Wrestling Daft on the Book of Face. So watching Netflix without using ExpressVPN, it's a wee bit like, you know, watching a wrestling pay-per-view when you only get the main event, right? Because using the ExpressVPN, and Alex, you know this, it lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They've got about 100 different server locations across the world, so you can access thousands of new shows. And it works also with loads of streaming services like BBC iPlayer, YouTube, and a lot more. Now, you can basically, with Netflix, Alex, now I'll always come to you in this one, you can access Japanese Netflix. And what do you get on Japanese Netflix, Alex?
You get all of the ridiculous things. You used to get really good Japanese game shows on them, that, you know, when you've got all your friends around and you just want something on the screen in the background.
Yeah.
Just put that on all the time. It was terrific. You know, there was stupid shit like the slippery stair game where people just slip down it because they're all covered in lube. It's terrific. So it's not just for the anime nerds. There is some also epic Japanese content up there. And the Japanese cooking shows, they don't make any sense, but they've got subtitles.
And it looks, the food looks amazing. So yeah, you can check out things like that on the Japanese Netflix. And apart from that, on ExpressVPN, you should choose them as opposed to other VPN sites because you're going to get really fast speeds, the streaming HD with zero buffering, compatible with all your devices, your phones, your laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, and it encrypts your data. So you're not going to have your data access and you can browse the web securely. That's what ExpressVPN is all about. So be smart. Stop paying the full price for streaming services and only get access to a fraction of their content. Like Netflix, you pay your £14 a month, you only see the UK stuff. You could have the whole world at your fingertips by using ExpressVPN. And we're going to give you a special offer here at Wrestling Daft. You can get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN for free if you sign up for a year. And you can do that at expressvpn.com/wrestling. That's expressvpn.com/wrestling. It's the wrestling news. Doom, doom, doom. With Gary Cassidy. I think I've actually just ruined the intro because usually I time that out. And I think I've just messed that up. So we'll wait and see what happens in the post edit.
I think just keep in whatever you've done there anyway. Who needs fancy jingles? We'll have John just singing an impromptu version of it.
Exactly. Let's get into the news then. We are recording on Tuesday evening. It is the 13th of July, and this is what we've got for you. A couple of wrestlers making their way back on into the independent scene after releases from WWE, Gary.
Aye, we're at that. I mean, I think this, I say that time is going to come a few times this year because of the amount of releases we've had, but it's that time where it's 3 months after releases happening. So we're going to start getting these wee matches filtered now. I know a lot of non-competes have been up already. Chelsea Green got hers a couple of days early and showed up on Ring of Honor a couple of days ago, but we've got a few more people that are going to be wrestling in matches in the next couple of weeks or so. One of which is Buddy Murphy. A lot of dream matches out there for Buddy Murphy. One of them, I think, you know, I'm not sure I'd have picked this one, but now that that match has been announced, I'm like, I can't wait to see it. Buddy Murphy versus Brian Cage. I just think that's going to be great. I'd love to see it in AEW, but it's not happening in AEW. It's going to be happening in a very famous arena, though, the former ECW arena, and nice. It's for Battleground Championship Wrestling, September 18th. That one's taking place. And then one that, I mean, we are more excited. Keep your buddy Murphy's on this show. We are more excited about the partisan, you know, guests that we've had. We will always take their side. So Axel Tischer, Alexander Wolf, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago now, he's having his first match back. Kind of knew where this was going because it's the same way a lot of people that have worked in WWE that are not from America, apart from Buddy Murphy, he's obviously managed to get his visa issues sorted, but a lot of them don't get them sorted. Alexander Wolf had mentioned that he was returning to Germany, and that was the plan anyway. So he is going to be in Germany at the WXW 20th anniversary show. Promotion he's very familiar with, Ring Kampf and all that. You know, it's had Walter, had Ilya Dragunov. He's got a bit of that. I'm not going to tell you the name of the venue because I'm going to struggle to say it, but it's one of Danhausen's favourite venues because it ends in Hausen. But yeah, Axel Tischer's going to be back there. I think I'm glad you mentioned as we're recording this, because obviously if somebody's to listen to this after Sunday, there's a good chance to have seen somebody else debut at Impact Slammiversary. So don't know who it's going to be.
Oh, do you not, Gary? All right, yeah.
I actually don't, because I thought a couple of months ago that it was going to be Samoa Joe, because that was the rumblings I'd held, and then obviously that went right out the window. There's
going to be some from plenty of be noise. So
I will tell you the one match that I don't think we're going to get that happening in, Deonna Purrazzo's got an open challenge, and a lot of people are saying, you know, Chelsea Green, who's just turned up at Ring of Honor. I'm going to take a wild guess there and say Gail Kim is going to be the person that's confronting the Hawks. There's been a wee bit of rumblings there. But could be anybody, because, you know, we've got Peyton Royce, we've got Billy Kay, you've got Ruby Riott and all that are good to go. You've got hundreds of people that are free agents. So maybe it's going to be a Buddy Murphy. Maybe it's going to be an Axel Tischer, probably less likely. But yeah, I think we're definitely going to get some surprises at Slammiversary as well. So interesting, exciting time of year.
I read the article. Do we know what Buddy Murphy? And presumably he's not going under Buddy Murphy, is he?
No idea yet. So all these merch that he's released so far has just said Secret No More, which I don't think that will be his name. I think it will be his nickname, but I'm sure his real name is Matthew. And the only reason that I don't actually know his surname, I'm just going to check that. But the reason that his name being Matthew is interesting is because of what happened with Aleister Black on AEW. So he's obviously still selling his eye injury, which I love because, you know, selling it across promotions.
Yeah.
But in his vignette before he debuted for AEW, he'd mentioned somebody called Matthew. He retweeted a Buddy Murphy tweet about wanting a match with him and just wrote Matthew full stop. And Buddy Murphy's real name is Matthew Adams. So that's quite interesting, but I don't even know what Buddy Murphy was called before. Matt Silver. I was going to say it was called something that was quite interesting, but it was Matt Silver before he was in WWE. Yeah. So no idea if he'll go back to that, but all his merch so far just says Secret No More.
We're selling on the Battleground poster. It's advertising as it's Brian Cage versus Buddy Murphy.
I don't think it's going to be allowed. No,
I wouldn't think
Sin Cara got some heat for that, as they said on this show as well. So I don't think he's going to be.
That'll be interesting to see what comes back up. The WWE draft, we're expecting that to happen sooner rather than later, but it looks like it's going to be later now.
Aye, so this is one of the ones that now makes more sense, because I think when we originally mentioned this, and yet again the update has come for the same person the original news came from, who is Andrew Zarian, who's part of the Matt Men podcast that's on, you know, the F4W1 Dave Meltzer's massive empire is under that umbrella. So he had broken the news originally, Andrew Zarian, and he'd said end of August, start of September. And then that was just before, you know, the WWE announced their UK tour, which has SmackDown Superstars has them named. And it's like, well, cards are always subject to change, so that could change. But I think we noted on this show that it was a wee bit earlier than it normally is, because the draft normally comes in October. Sometimes you get one in April as well, or a superstar shakeup comes in April, but normally comes in October. And now it seems like it's going to be in October, because he said that he's been told now 4th of October, which would be the season premiere of Raw. Obviously, it will probably be across two shows. Probably it'll be the SmackDown before and then the Raw, or the Raw and then the SmackDown. But a wee bit later, which means that when SmackDown comes here, we're probably going to end up with Roman Reigns and Big E and Sasha Banks and not Bayley, because she's now injured. out for 9 months, which is a shame. But it means we're going to get all these big names, Bianca Belair and, you know, all your big names that are on SmackDown now. So good news for us in the UK if it's getting delayed, because it means we get the good show that's on the now.
Absolutely. As long as they don't do that really terrible way they did the last time with the TV executives in the rooms. No, come on, get, you know, jazz it up a bit. You know what I mean?
Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, just split them at least for one night and have them fighting out it. But aye, it was a wee bit. I like it when there's stakes, so I liked at least there was that much, but nah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Finally, some exciting news. I didn't realise this was happening until today, until I saw this story. Darby Allin says he's not in Jackass 4. Now, I'm not excited the fact that Darby Allin's not going to be in Jackass 4. I'm excited the fact they're making another Jackass movie.
Aye, so this is an interesting one. This, I actually can kind of give you some Jackass news that isn't wrestling news, because annoyingly, Bam Margera isn't going to be in it, which had his fair share. Aye, he's had a fair share of public problems over the past few years, yeah. If anybody's... I think he get battled by Jack Jester in Glasgow. I'm sure Grado's told that
story. Yeah, Grado told us that on this podcast. We also talked about the fact that that was in reference to the fact that Hulk Hogan confused
Hulk Hogan,
him.
Aye.
I thought had passed away when it was... who was it that passed away?
Ryan Dunn.
And
also, our favourite SmackDown wrestler, Baron Corbin, has a Ryan Dunn tattoo, because he was quite good friends with Ryan Dunn.
Oh, really? Wow.
So I can give you all the obscure Jackass facts. It's absolutely brilliant. But this news it kind of emerged during AEW a couple of weeks ago, and it was like Darby Allin was going to be in Jackass, but it wasn't really officially announced or anything like that. And it just kind of made its way onto the websites that, you know, you would normally believe, I think, including Inside the Ropes, I'm sure we reported on it. And it was just, you know, a lot of things kind of came together. Steve-O's been on AEW Dynamite, and Darby Allin's been involved in a lot of stuff with Tony Hawk and a lot of different skateboarders. I mean, a lot of the stunts you see him doing in AEW Dynamite, wouldn't they look at a place in a Jackass film for a start? Guy has a blatant disregard for his own body. But it came out now that, and it could be kayfabe news, you never know. But it's now came out in terms of a tweet that he was going to have a cameo in the film. Darby Allin's replied to it and said, "I ain't in this movie." So, a bit disappointing. I don't care. I'm going to go see it anyway, but it'd be a nice wee bonus if Darby Allin's in it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And that is your wrestling news for this week.
Wrestling / Jackass news.
And Jackass, yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So Gary catches up with all the big stars and he gives us the interviews to put on Wrestling Daft Marks. This week, he caught up with the former Forgotten Son. He's not forgotten anymore. It's Wesley Blake.
Hi, everyone. Gary Cassidy here. Welcome back to Inside the Ropes. Today, I'm joined by a man you might know as Wesley Blake, but you're going to know him very soon as something slightly different. Weston Blake, how's it going today?
Oh, it's doing great, man. I'm blessed. The sun is shining. It's kind of wet over here, but it's doing, I'm doing very well. We just celebrated Father's Day over here in America, and I got to spend time with the family and the kids and stuff like that. So I'm on cloud nine as of right now.
Yeah, we'll get straight into it, because that's one thing that I meant to mention. Well, you know, as Father's Day, I know you are a father, you know, you've got kids with someone who fans will know if they know who she is. A former Tough Enough contestant as well. There's never a good time to be released or to, you know, lose your job, but getting to spend some time with a young family might be one of the little silver linings. I want to ask about the most recent time that we've seen you. And it was, you know, you didn't even have a match, as far as I know, while part of this faction. It was the Knights of the Lone Wolf with Baron Corbin or King Corbin. Obviously, that came together, you know, after the Forgotten Son's demise, and it seemed like it came together a little bit out of the blue for people watching. How was it for you? How did you find out about it, and how did you feel when it was pitched to you?
So when the whole Jackson Record tweet happened, and And once we kind of were told, like, hey, they're not going to be using the Forgotten Sons anymore, that was actually one of the pitches that Steve and myself pitched towards creative, saying, like, hey, we would like to be paired with Baron Corbin. We feel like we would, you know, add to his already heel persona. And we feel like we could, you know, get some miles out of him. It would just be kind of great interaction. And I think we can have fun working with him because, of course, we've known him since NXT days. Way back when. And so it was just something that we pitched. We didn't really pitch like the Knights of the Lone Wolf. We just kind of pitched like us being with him, just kind of throw the stuff against the wall. And we found out that December of last year that we were finally going to get paired with them. And creative came with us with the look that they wanted. They wanted the clean shaved look. They wanted us with like the hoodies with suits and stuff like that. They wanted to go to like more modern, athletic sports kind of entertainer look. So and we were very excited for it, and I know I was very excited to get to work with Corbin and get back on TV and just kind of getting your foot back in the door. You're like, okay, like we had some steam, we had some momentum going with Forgotten Sons, but that got halted. And so when that stuff happens, you got to try to keep moving forward to try to get your foot back in that door so you can kind of get your momentum back up. And once we started with Baron Corbin, we were very excited because there were some creative plans going forward with us working with the Mysterios, which is, on one of those dream matches that everyone wishes that they could have, because Rey Mysterio is such a legend. And, you know, he can still go in the ring and, you know, getting to work his son Dominic would have been so much fun. And I, at that time, Buddy Murphy was still involved with that family in the storyline wise. So we were looking forward to that. And we were looking forward to getting like some character stuff out there and getting to work some six mans with those, with Murphy and the Mysterio family. So it was a very exciting time for us getting our foot back in the door and also getting to work with Corbin, who's just been Mr. Consistent. You know, he's gotten to do some cool stuff back in the day with The Rock and Becky Lynch and stuff like that. Like he got to share some TV time with. And so, and when you're paired with a guy kind of like that, you know, it only helps elevate your level. And so that was one of the things that we really liked.
Yeah, that was one of those things where I'm like, man, and I know it ended for slightly different reasons than the Forgotten Sons thing, but it's like, what, like, why is it ending so quickly? Because we've got so much more that we can do with it. That was one thing that I wanted to ask about was, you know, how that idea came up, because one person that I interviewed recently was Chelsea Green. And I know that she said she was just pitching everything she could, you know, throwing pitches, seeing what would stick. Was there anything else that, you know, when you were off TV after the Forgotten Sons thing, was there anything else that you pitched and you're like, man, I really wish that was something that we got to do?
Yeah. So the Corbin thing was a good one. Chelsea Green as well. We pitched like a Dukes of Hazzard, and of course her being Daisy and that type of stuff. We pitched that stuff towards creative. We even pitched kind of like off the Forgotten Sons. We pitched Lacey Evans kind of like help like shaping us up, like got to give us the cleaner look and kind of turning us into gentlemen. We pitched that. We pitched all sorts of ideas. We pitched another crazy idea that we pitched was Steve and myself, we would be part of the kind of the Wyatt family, but we would be part of his Firefly Funhouse. We would be like his, you know, his pig or his rabbit. And like, we would actually bring to life, not only that, but we would be like, you know, real life pig and rabbit. And we would actually wrestle people is kind of what we would say. Like we would kind of do his dirty work. You know, we pitched that, and it was just all sorts of things that we were just throwing, just kind of seeing what stuck. And it was fun for Steve and I just to creatively just kind of like, hey, does this sound good? Does this sound good? And, you know, of course, this back at that time, they would be like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Go with that. Or they'd be like, no, that, you know, they're doing something else with that person. So it was when you get told no, you know, it just opens your mind up creatively to like, okay, if that's not going to work, maybe we can go here. And you always got to keep, you know, the wheels turning, so to speak, on trying to get something that may stick or work or something you can just get a grasp of.
I almost hate that I asked that question now, because they sound like ideas where I'm like, oh, I wish I'd seen that play out on TV. That would have been absolutely amazing. Particularly the Bray Wyatt stuff would have been great. So that's one thing that I also wanted to ask, because I've, you know, I interviewed a few people that have been released. And the one thing that always comes up is, you know, the relationship with Vince McMahon. And there's always this thing where people say, oh, I sat outside his office for hours. And some people, like I interviewed Sin Cara recently, and he said, there was no way I was going to sit outside someone's office for hours because they should know how good I am. What were you like in terms of a relationship with Vince McMahon or Triple H? Was there one, or was it like, I need to go through the writing team to get my ideas heard? Did you have any interactions with Vince?
With Vince, no, I didn't. Even, this is, like I said, it was a weird time when we got brought up during the pandemic. And so when we had a meeting with Vince prior, that WrestleMania that was going to be held in Tampa. We were going to fly at the Connecticut, Riker, Macklin, and myself, and get the meeting with Vince and the creative. But of course, with everything shut down, that got X-nayed. And so we just went forward, and they ended up debuting us. But I never got to have a relationship with Vince McMahon. I think I shook his hands maybe twice. And that was when I was with the Knights of the Lone Wolf, and he was just telling me a good job. But other than that, I didn't. There was several times where Steve and I were out with after the tweet that we tried to have a meeting with him, just so, because like everyone says, like you know, you have to get a meeting, or you have to try to build a relationship with Vince McMahon in order to, you know, to get in front of him to kind of see who you are type stuff. Unfortunately, I never got that. I never got to have a meeting with him, or never got to sit with him and talk. All my stuff through Vince was through creative, through a writer, through Bruce Prichard type stuff, through the creative of SmackDown. And so that's how, I mean, he got to like even hear or what, you know, what the Wesley Blake is or what Steve Backlund was. But with Triple H, I had a good enough relationship where, you know, down there in NXT, he always made himself very visible. He was always out like, towards, you know, at the ring, you know, going over with finishes or going through entrances with people. So he even had to grab his ear for a minute or two just to go over a finish or go over a creative idea that you had for the group. It seemed better that way, that you could kind of, and plus you had Shawn Michaels down there who was his best friend and who was there at the performance center every day and getting to coach and getting to go through the video sessions with him. So you kind of got, you know, Triple H's mind and kind of, you know, got to see his best friend and kind of see his vision as well. So NXT wise, it was just very much easier for us to get to Triple H, or at least get into his ear about what we wanted to do or in a creative idea pitch.
I don't imagine, this might just be a straight no. Was there anything that was pitched to you that you just weren't a fan of and went, nope, not for me?
No, like I said, not a lot of stuff got pitched my way. It was actually the opposite. I pitched a lot of stuff, and you know, it kind of came back. Like I said, with Corbin, that was probably the one where I had the least input to say. I mean, they're like, hey, you're with Corbin. Here's your look. Here's what we want you to do. Here's kind of how we want you to act. And of course, like I said, I was just, at that time, I just kind of want to put my foot in the door type thing. And so I was just kind of like, yeah, I'll do whatever you need or never worry you to ask. Because I remember I even talked to Daniel Bryan about it a little bit when we were there. And, you know, he even brought up and said, hey, do you think y'all could do like even make this a comedy type thing? And Steve and I, we were more than hesitant. I was like, whatever y'all want, whatever y'all see the Knights of the Lone Wolf being, I think we could be. And so if y'all wanted us to be comedy and kind of Corbin the more serious, we can do that. Fortunately, we didn't, now that got to play out like that. But I would say Knights of the Lone Wolf was probably like the least input I had on a character or something like that. But most of the other times when you do pitches, you're doing pitches to kind of, you know, for yourself and kind of what you see yourself as a kind of a character that you're going to come up with. Steve and myself with the Forgotten Sons, I mean, we had a pretty clear idea of what we wanted and kind of the tone and the theme that we wanted for our tag team. And then WWE or the NXT creative would just kind of sprinkle their stuff that like that they wanted. And, you know, they would kind of just like, they would work with us in a way to where we kind of got both sides happy.
Yeah, I'm thinking that as a man who's been, you know, you've been a cowboy and you were in, you know, the Blake and Murphy stuff. You seem like a man who would just do, you know, whatever that they throw your way and then just try and make the most of it. Before we move on to, you know, the kind of quick fire stuff, I've got two final questions. One of them is that, you know, you mentioned that you'd almost worked with Rey Mysterio, but you'd been paired with Alexa Bliss, Baron Corbin, a lot of massive, massive, massive names. Who is the person in WWE that you learned the most from, whether it's someone you were paired with, you know, on screen or someone that you just were with backstage?
Oh, man, there is a plethora of people that that I learned from, whether it be in the ring or outside the ring, like whether promo-wise or whatever. Like I said, with Alexa, I got to get paired with her down at NXT, which I think helped transfer her. Because at that time she was a Sparkle Princess, and then she kind of got in there, and they liked the attitude change with that. I got to work with some great talents. Shinsuke Nakamura, who was one of the greatest coming out of Japan, and not but in the world. I'll never forget. He just had his debut. This is when I knew that Shinsuke was kind of like a next level star. So he just had his debut match with Sami Zayn at TakeOver Dallas. And the next morning was a WrestleMania Access. And I don't know if people don't know what that is, but it's basically WrestleMania Access is kind of like you get to go in and WWE kind of opens its door to the warehouse, wherever it is. And you can kind of go see merchandise. You get to go see old stuff. But not only that, you get to kind of see matches. And at that time, NXT put on like just exhibition matches and stuff like that. And so he just had this killer match with Sami Zayn. And then me and him were scheduled to do a match the next day. I want to say that Saturday morning, for access at 8 o'clock in the morning. So this guy just went out, killed it. And then he had to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get shuttled over to WrestleMania Access. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's not a lot of people there. And they're just kind of like floundering and looking around and stuff like that. And I'll never forget, because I was in the ring and his music hits. And I just remember looking out and people at merchandise and stuff just drop their stuff and just come in waves towards the ring, where I swear everyone in Access heard that music and they wanted to go see Shinsuke Nakamura. And it was just a cool moment in time where I was like, oh, wow. And I cherish it. And what's great is that he helped me out so much and outside the ring, and with stuff like just presentation wise, moves, and just kind of like how he set things up. He was a great one. There's several other people. Tyler Breeze is another one that even when I first got there, just helped me build confidence and stuff like that, and wrestle how I wanted to wrestle. I would say, people like Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, we were all kind of coming up in the tag division at the same time, and we got to work those guys on live events quite a bit. But we got to learn a lot with a tag team and chemistry and stuff like that. So that was they were another team that that I learned quite a bit from. Sean Spears, I got to work with a lot on live events, and I also got to do one of my favorite matches before Brooklyn 2. That's when I first found out that I was becoming a father before that match. And so it holds a special place in my heart just with that. And Sean Spears is very, he's been in the wrestling business for now over, I want to say 20 years or so, or right up there. And, just to his knowledge and getting to hear stories of when he was back in FCW and his kind of coming up and kind of his perception of the business. Finn Balor, another one. Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, having those two guys in the locker room. I mean, just being under that knowledge tree of them, just kind of getting to tell stories and telling, kind of their perception of the business and what they thought. Bobby Roode, another one that that you kind of connected to where you would get to talk to and stuff like that. There's just so much more, so many talented people, even people they brought in just for Tommy Dreamer that they brought in for a little bit down in NXT, Rhino and stuff, you know, they brought down in NXT for a little bit. Pac, I got to wrestle Pac a couple of times, and he was probably one of my favorite opponents to wrestle. I mean, the guy can just do literally anything and everything in the ring, and you know, and all his stuff looks so good, and just like his thought and process of putting a match together, there's just so many talented people. Enzo and Cass, you know, those two, it was just great. I mean, they were red hot in NXT at that time, and they really helped Murphy and myself propel to a heel, you know, really quality heel team, and really get us generate a lot of heat for us at that time. Man, I'm pretty sure I'm leaving some people out right now because there's so much. But yeah, the great thing about when I was in NXT and even WWE is they bring in a lot of talent from all sorts of different cultures and different wrestling styles and stuff like that. So I kind of got to mix in with a little bit of everybody, whether it be live events or just, you know, sharing the locker room. And you just kind of get bits and pieces and stuff that you like from, you know, everybody, and then kind of mold it into your own.
Most definitely. I love that you mentioned like essentially an NXT Hall of Fame there. But while you were doing that, I was half concentrating on the names, and the other half of my mind was thinking of how good would an FTR versus Blake and Murphy match be elsewhere now. That would just be a great match.
So that's the possibilities that right now that can be presented, you know, down the road. You know, obviously Murphy got released, and you know, and which is very sad to hear. He's a super talented athlete and stuff like that. But yeah, it opens those doors now. That was one of we had a couple dark matches on NXT where both teams were kind of getting looked at, you know, to kind of see who's going to get put on TV. And now with, you know, the way things are and the way, you know, with FTR, they got to, you know, propel into and to tag wrestling, and Murphy and I, we kind of got separated, and which I feel like we still have a lot of, you know, a lot to give in the tag team, you know, wrestling world with Murphy and myself. And, you know, even you know, Steve of Forgotten Sons type reunion where it could be Steve and myself working a couple of other people as well. It's just the opportunities and the, you know, and stuff for the future is just incredible.
Most definitely. One thing that I need to ask, the tweet has been brought up many times, and I'm sure you'll get asked about it in every single interview. Looking now at WWE, you know, the reason that you guys ended up, you know, Forgotten Sons ended up almost pushed, it seems like you guys were going to be the next SmackDown Tag Team Champions, at least in some form, probably yourself and Steve with Jackson Ryker doing his outside the ring stuff. And then that comes to a halt because of a tweet. And the one guy that's currently still employed by WWE is Jackson Ryker. Do you look back at that moment or looking now and go, is there any anger there? Or is it just like, these things happen? How do you feel about that looking back on it?
Looking back on it, it's one of those things that everything happens for a reason. And, you know, when that tweet happened, Steve and myself messaged him and said, asked him if he would take it down. And, you know, at that time he declined. He said, no, I won't take it down. I see nothing wrong with that tweet. And so we told him up front, just like, hey, well, we're going to kind of put our own opinion out there and kind of separate ourselves a little bit from you. And which he understood. And, you know, I think he didn't, when he set out that tweet, he didn't realize, I think, how big it was going to get. Type thing and how much momentum it would stop momentum. Because when that tweet happened, Steve and myself, we went into their performance center to talk with creative, and they kind of let us know like, hey, we're going to let this blow over for about 2 weeks and then we'll kind of bring you back and you all start going in with the new day. You know, at that time, we didn't think the tweet was going to cause that much damage. But then, of course, a week later, we were told that they're going to go into a storyline with Cesaro and Shinsuke. Yeah. And, you know, and I think once that happened, Ryker, you know, he, of course, apologized to me and Steve repeatedly. You know, he didn't mean for us for our careers to get halted like that or anything. Like, he didn't want to have that negative effect on us. And I think it's just the way the company was going forward now. I think they, you know, I think the company saw it and they're like, okay, well, we'll split them up. Riker can go to Raw. You know, Steve and myself went to SmackDown, and it was just, you know, you were given an opportunity with the Wolves, and it just so happened that it didn't pan out, I guess, the way they wanted it to be. So they just, you know, went a different direction with the company. And then, of course, Riker stayed on Raw and with the Elias, and, you know, now he's doing his thing with them.
Yeah. And the one final question that I want to ask, you know, we've already mentioned there's a few dream matches that are out there. You know, I'm not going to ask about a dream match because everyone asks that question. I'm thinking of the FTR match now, and I'm thinking of Pac and stuff like that. I know that Tommy Entis had quite a few kind words for you. But when we see Weston Blake, wherever he ends up next, what is the one thing that you want Weston Blake to be? Is there a certain character? Is there a certain, like, you want people to recognize your in-ring talent? What is the one thing that you want to be when you appear elsewhere?
When I'm elsewhere, I just want people to see me just kind of for who I am and for kind of, you know, and what I bring to the table is what I want. I believe I have value. I believe wherever, when it, any company shows interest in me, I believe I can bring their value up. And when I think people take a look at me or my work or something like that, I think that I want my passion and my drive to kind of speak for itself, or my work ethic and stuff like that. And, you know, I just want to, you know, people to see what, you know, what kind of vision I have for the, you know, for wrestling and for the wrestling as a whole. I hope I can inspire younger generations, like some, you know, people, you know, as I looked at wrestling, and that inspired me to kind of chase this dream. Or even if it's just, you know, aspiring a family member to go for what their dream job is or their passion, whether it be cooking or, whatever it is, whether it gives you the courage, just do what you love to do most in life. And like I said, and for everyone, that could be something different. And, you know, and just, you know, I want to bring just a sense of pride and you know, with my career and how I came up with, you know, coming up through the funks and stuff like that. It's kind of, I have that name attached to me. And so you always want to do well by the name. And you always want to, you know, hold that up to the highest regards. And so you always want to have that honor and always want to, you know, do best for the name and stuff like that. And hopefully keep that legacy going on with my name as well.
Right, so that's it for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe on Apple, whatever you get your podcasts. I thought we'd just run through the card quickly of Money in the Bank, guys, before we shoot off, because it's this Sunday. It's Slammiversary this weekend as well, isn't it?
Slammiversary's on Saturday, aye.
Anything you want to put
good
over?
Good pay-per-view night.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, SummerSlam. I can't wait for Saturday. SummerSlam. We'll definitely be doing a watch on for that and getting drunk to watch SummerSlam. Gary, get any highlights from Slammiversary before we get into Money in the Bank that we should be looking out for?
It's one of the ones where the main event is Sami Callihan versus Kenny Omega, so I'm no ridiculously excited for the main event. There's a Ultimate X match, which I think Chris Bay, I always love seeing him in it, and he's returning to the fold for that. But the main thing, as I think I mentioned earlier, Deonna Purrazzo against a mystery opponent. I think it might be Gail Kim, but obviously there's so many free agents that could be taking that wee mystery spot. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. They've
when
got
the last time
back.
We saw Gail in Impact out of interest. I'm a huge
long,
for Gail.
Long time ago. Yeah, she's not wrestled for a long time. I think she's officially retired, but there's been a wee bit of back and forth between them, you know, on media calls and on the programming. And I think that's just the way.
I'd argue Gail is the original TNA knockout as well. Like, she started that division all that time ago.
It would be. It's just like that would be a complete like generational match, I think. And it's the first show back in front of fans for Impact. So I just think that would be amazing. I do think they'll pull it to the bag. Obviously, we're not going to get Samoa Joe, which was the name that I'd held rumoured a long time ago and thankfully did not report on it, so that I did not look like a jabroni when it didn't happen. But there's like, so many free agents that they could obviously just pull something at the bag. There's a lot of people looking for a wrestling gig. So I think it'll be interesting. Slammiversary is their biggest show, essentially. It's essentially their WrestleMania. So I will
see. They put a stipulation on Callahan, Omega.
I don't think so.
Because like, I always thought the way Omega could lose the belt is you put him in some kind of hardcore nonsense with Callahan and it's justified. So maybe he is keeping it then.
I just don't think I don't think they can take the belt off Omega until he loses the AEW title. Hank,
maybe why the Hangman's maybe why the Hangman's dust kicking off in it. But yeah.
So let's run through the card for Money in the Bank. AJ Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders.
I'd get the Viking Raiders. I'd have them pin AJ Styles. I know that's not going to be popular, but I'd have them win it. They had a singles match between Omos and Ivar last night. It was a bit nothing. But I would have Viking Raiders win.
Really?
Yeah, it's more fun to tell with the AJ Omos stuff. It doesn't have to last to get a good story out of it, really, does it?
No. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Reigns versus Edge.
I'm kind of surprised they put this on a Money in the Bank show. Like, it must mean they do have Big John Boy for SummerSlam if they're using Edge versus Reigns here.
You would think.
So does that mean, though, that I was about to say, does that mean that John Cena is bigger than Edge? And I'm like, why am I asking that question? John Cena has always been bigger than Edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid fucking question.
So Reigns for that one. Women's match, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. I'm not going to put the title back on Charlotte. Are they?
I mean, a title's got to change hands in the Charlotte Flair and a title match as well. You think
female Money in the Bank contestant?
Oh, it could be late on in the show. I mean, the women's Money in the Bank hasn't had a long run since Carmella, so
it'll probably open, I'd imagine, because one of the monies usually opens, one's closes. Usually, is how they do it.
That's a good shout. Option C, neither.
Option C, or it doesn't have to finish. Like, you can go back to what was the last Charlotte title match where she just went mad and got disqualified. You could go down that route, and you kind of have to have Ripley go over here because Ripley hasn't beaten Charlotte, so it's 1-0 Charlotte currently, isn't it?
Ripley
to win, build to a rubber match at SummerSlam between Charlotte and Ripley, I'd imagine. Right.
Okay, good shout, Alex. Good logic. Whether creative for that logic is another story. we've got Bobby versus Kofi for the WWE Championship. Bobby, probably for me, definitely. Yeah.
Got a bit of Lashley. I'd love to see Kofi win, but it's got a bit of Lashley.
Some sort of MVP switch to...
I mean, they could do that. They could do like a little hot potato and just put it on Kingston for the rematch at SummerSlam where Bobby wins it back. I wouldn't be against that. Gives it like SummerSlam a little bit of an oomph. And there's your big crowd moment for the end.
I was going to say, that's the crowd being there makes me think that Kofi might have a chance just for the big crowd pop.
Yeah, and he'll lose it very quickly afterwards. But just for that
the
crowd
next night
pop,
on Raw.
Yeah, potentially. Like, there's literally potential of that. Like, Bobby can say he got distracted by the fans or some shit and then loses it the next night. I think that's actually a great piece of storyline right there, Gary. I think that's what they should do. Kofi wins it on Sunday, loses it on Monday. Terrific. Yeah.
That's women's Money in the Bank ladder match. We've got Oscar and Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Ash, Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, Natalya, and I didn't realise there's a TBC in it.
Yes, there is still meant to be one name and it's rumoured to be Sonya Deville.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see an NXT after Shotzi and Knox coming up from NXT. Like, who do you think NXT-wise could jump up to a singles position on the main roster?
I would even go the opposite direction and say that we could see a certain returning Becky Lynch.
Because,
I mean, if you want to have a big moment for fans coming back, if they can have her there, she's been looking like she's in good shape.
And Seth's off at the moment, isn't it? He's on like a break, so it's kind of, no one's expecting it. Apart from the journos, obviously. Now Gary's expecting it.
I think that could be great.
Obviously, the women's title match got cancelled between Bianca Belair and Bayley, and that's now going to be Bianca Belair versus Carmella on the SmackDown Go Home on the Friday. So finally, I don't know who to pick out that women's match, but I think it'll be TBC that wins it. That's what
I don't know. I think maybe Liv Morgan, maybe Alexa Bliss. Maybe Nikki Cross. One of four.
Brilliant. Alex, who you got?
I don't know. I can't call it. I don't know what they're going to do with the next women's title, to be honest. It's a tough one. It feels like it's going to be like a hot potato, or they might even try and do another Otis that just went nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, or they just put it on Bliss. because that's their easy option.
Yeah, but Alexa Bliss' spooky gimmick with the Money in the Bank briefcase doesn't work for me, so I will wait and see.
Oh, but it would work for Kevin Dunn. Imagine all the disappearing briefcase shit. Like, she can just appear in the crowd one day and then she'll be gone. It'll be like Matt Hardy at the start of AEW.
Right.
I think Nikki Cross and you should yield the journalist gimmick that Gregory Helms had when he was not Hurricane and have her carrying her in that.
I love
could
that.
We make her, like, every time she tries to cash in, she has to, like, come down with, like, on the harness from the roof, so they just run away by the time she gets down every time. I think that'd be a great little gimmick.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, the men's Money in the Bank ladder match: Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, and Seth Rollins.
I'm between two here. I think either Drew, because I think him getting that moment of cashing in would be almost as good as the crowd moment that he would have got at WrestleMania 36. Or my wild card is either Riddle or Riddle getting taken out the match by Randy Orton and Randy Orton winning it.
I was going to say, I'm surprised Randy wasn't in the match, to be honest. Like, I thought this would have been the Orton Riddle dissension moment.
On Raw, Matt Riddle filed a missing notice for Randy Orton because he's not been seen for a couple of weeks. So I think he might get taken out of the match by Randy Orton, and Randy Orton becomes Mr. Money in the Bank, which I would love because he's never been Mr. Money in the Bank and his music still gets a pop. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true. But yeah, I think the Gavko would Drew.
Yeah, you're right, because he'd just do an RKO out of nowhere, wouldn't he? And it would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, we'll wait and see. Should be a decent pay per view. Looking forward to that. We'll be talking about that on the show next week. On the main show, we're having Grado. Remember, that'll be out on Friday. Currently, it's stuck. We're going for either the best WWF / WWE tag teams, and on Grado's request, we put best TNA pay per view back into the vote. And unfortunately for Grado, it's the best WWF tag teams that are currently winning it.
Surely there's at one point you could just say fuck it and be like, this week, guys, we're doing the best TNA pay per view.
No, it's just funnier if we just keep putting it up as the vote every week. It's just funnier.
I tried, Grado.
Just keeps losing every week. It's great. Best, because this is off the back of the New Day being declared the best WWF tag team of all time, WWE. Tag team. What's the best one for you, Gary?
It's hard to argue. I mean, that's very hard to argue with the New Day, but I would say probably the Hardy Boys.
I knew you were going to say that. And I'm going to guess Alex's is Edge and Christian.
Incorrect. It's Too Cool, but you got the era right. Well done.
Oh, really? Too Cool? Wow.
No, I think I would actually be Edge and Christian, but Too Cool are right up there for me. I love Too
right,
Cool.
Right, okay, no worries. I'm going to old school Legion of Doom for me.
Yeah,
it's got to be. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Marks. Remember, you can get involved, contribute a bit to the Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdav. Lots more content up there, including the video version of this show. And remember, you can still get t-shirts. They're still available. Get yourself kitted out for the summer. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. You can look cool on the beach during this heat wave we are having in Scotland right now. Gary Casty, thank you very much. What can we get? What you've been up to? What are you doing?
Coming soon on well, on this
I thought
podcast,
you were just going to stop there, and I was like,
no, coming soon on this podcast and on Inside the Ropes on my YouTube and everything. We'll have obviously Wesley Blake is on this show, and then after that we'll have Tucker, Mickey James, Masha Slamovich, indie wrestler, interviewed as well. So aye, loads of stuff happening. Tunnels.
Fantastic.
James must be so much fun right now.
Alex, thank you very much for your live traffic updates across Glasgow today.
Well, if you're a driver in Glasgow, fuck you, get off the road. That's all I'm going to say.
Brilliant, fantastic. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, keep marking out.
Audio Frontier.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.